these names of these ransomware gangs? Sometimes it's hard to know. Is it a ransomware gang or is it some sort of Eurovision death metal group?
Smashing Security, episode 416, High Street Hacks and Disney's Winding Swoe, with Carol Terrio and Graham Cluley.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Smashing Security, episode 416. My name's Graham Cluley.
And I'm Carol Terrio.
What's coming up on the show this week, Cruel?
Well, before we kick off, let's thank this week's wonderful sponsors, Dashlane, Material, and Fanta. It's their support that helps us give you this show for free. Now, coming up on today's show, Graham, what do you got?
I'm taking a walk down the high street looking for hackers.
Okay. And I'm heading to Disney to find out what happens if you get terminated.
And I'm speaking to the folks at Dashlane all about the impact AI is having on password security and how its new AI-powered Omnix service is helping security teams.
All this and much more coming up on this episode of Smashing Security.
Now, chums, I don't know if you noticed, Cybersecurity Awareness Month has come early this year.
Is it?
Yeah, normally it's in October, but it turns out it's right now, Kroll, at least for British retailers.
Yeah.
Because there's been a bit of a revelation that some of the country's most well-known stores have been hit by cyber criminals.
Can I admit something? I have been doing this big art show thing and I've literally read only the headlines and all this and I know no details. So I'm so glad you're covering this.
Ah, well, maybe I will be able to shed some light on the latest developments here because first up we had Marks and Spencer. Everyone loves Marks and Spencer. It's the place where your gran goes to buy her knickers. It's where Kroll...
buy my jam-filled donuts from the bakery. Delicious.
Is that right?
Oh, they're the best. They're the best ones in all the supermarkets.
I will sometimes walk out with an overpriced prawn sandwich and a packet of Percy Pigs. But they got hit by a cyber attack, and it has led to empty shelves in some of their stores. Now, Marks and Spencer, they're part of the British establishment, for goodness sake. Hackers can't attack them. It feels like an affront. It's like turning off the archers on Radio 4. M&S, as they're known, is allegedly losing more than 40 million quid a week due to a fall in clothing and food sales as a result of this cyber attack.
Oh, wow.
Yep, it's pretty substantial. They've suspended all of their online orders. My local Marks and Spencer doesn't seem to believe anyone in my town who is male wants to buy a shirt. They've got plenty of clothes for women. They have no male shirts. So if I want to buy a shirt from Marks and Spencer, I need to go to their website to order it. So they bring it in and say, oh, this is very unusual. We've got a man who'd like to walk around when he isn't bare-chested. But right now I can't do that because they've suspended all their online orders due to this cyber attack.
Never have I been so glad that I don't live very close to you at all.
Worst of all, Marks and Spencer has been forced to suspend several of its rather popular meal deal offers due to this attack. Now, the company says it is working day and night to address this cyber attack. It's not looking great, to be honest. One insider says that M&S had no plan to deal with an attack of this nature. There are claims the staff resorted to using WhatsApp on their personal phones. They're sleeping in the offices. It's generally descended into something a bit like the Hunger Games.
If you believe what Graham has read, yeah.
Well, that's what the insiders...
The insiders. Sounds like you're writing for the Daily Mail.
Well, this is what they're saying. Now, I tend to be a little bit more sympathetic, I think, to the people who work in these companies who are protecting the systems. You know, it's a pretty thankless job, to be honest.
Than whom? You're saying you're more sympathetic than whom?
Well, there's some people who are just slagging them off, saying, well, you know, you should have had better protection. But I think any company these days has the potential to be hacked. And sure enough, then it was the turn of the Co-op, also known as the Coop. Mm-hmm. They're another supermarket. They're not quite as highbrow as Marks and Spencer.
I love the Coop.
You will leave with a more disappointing meal deal, I would say, than Marks and Spencer, but a cheaper one.
After Eights is my secret passion.
After Eight chocolates?
Yeah. You know, if I'm having a bad day and I need a little sweet, I will dash over to the local co-op and get myself a box of After Eights, and I'm so glad they're available all year.
Very nice, very nice. Well, Co-op's internal systems were disrupted by the cyber attack that they suffered, and crucially, customer data was exposed.
Oh.
Now, initially they said there was no evidence of any customer data loss in the first days after the attack, and that appears that was technically true when they said that. They didn't have any evidence of it, but since then, the situation has changed because now the attackers, the ransomware gang, they've proved that data was taken and the co-op has shifted in the nature of its transparency. It's issued a letter from its CEO. There's a press statement confirming the data breach and providing details of what sorts of co-op member information has been taken. It's not financial information. It's names, email addresses, phone numbers, the kind of data that can really fuel a phishing attack.
Yeah.
Not great. So both of these well-known British high street shops.
Trusted shops.
They've suffered a ransomware attack. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, Carol, Harrods was targeted as well.
A not-so-loved British established company.
You find them in Knightsbridge, London. They're sort of, it's like a gold-leafed temple. It's where oligarchs buy their caviar and 200-pound candles.
Yeah, if you wanted like an umbrella holder in the shape of a leopard with some diamante finish, that's where you would go.
Now, most of us, if we popped into Harrods, would probably leave with a sense of inferiority, I think.
Well,
they haven't said that they fell foul of ransomware, but they do say they suffered an incident which has resulted in them...
That's posh for we're f***ed.
It's resulted in them restricting all internet access across its operations. No customer data at the moment appears to have leaked. So that's something. The billionaires who go there are going to be okay. But going back to this Marks and Spencer attack, there are reports about what actually happened, which I thought were worth sharing in case it could impact other people as well listening to the show. So the hackers apparently impersonated current employees of Marks and Spencer, and they rang up the company's internal IT help desk asking them to reset passwords. And because of that, they were able to waltz straight into internal systems.
See, that's quite clever because I, in my old days, would regularly forget my password and have to contact IT to help me get back into some. Because we had a number of different applications that we had to use in order to work for said company. Anyway, things were tough back then, kids. They were tough.
People like to be helpful, don't they? People on IT help desk think, you obviously having a bad day. You know, you're going to get in trouble with the big boss. You've got to log in and do your work.
Maybe some of our IT people out there listening could tell us what percentage of their, requests are about password resets, because I bet it's much higher than we even imagine.
So the bad guys deployed their ransomware. They brought operations to a grinding halt. Shelves are empty, meal deals suspended. Brits have been left wondering how on earth they're going to survive a Wednesday night without a dine-in for two. So what to do? Well, there is advice right now from the National Cybersecurity Centre here in the UK, the NCSC. They say they have insights into the three attacks, but they're not in a position yet to say if they are linked or not, or part of a concerted campaign. But they have warned that hackers are using social engineering tactics to exploit IT help desks in order to reset passwords and multi-factor authentication. So that's what you have to be wise to. They've offered a whole bunch of advice. We will link to it in the show notes. The advice includes giving special attention to high-level accounts, which have access to, all the really powerful things, and telling organizations they should review their help desk processes when it comes to password resets.
Yeah.
And they're saying that criminal activity online right now is rampant. That is their word, Carol, rampant.
Yeah, well, maybe we should just, you see, that's hard. If I say, maybe we should just stop buying stuff online, every retailer out there will loathe me, right?
Well, it's having real world impact as well. It's not just the online sales, but, some of the shelves are empty as a result.
Yeah.
So which ransomware group is responsible for this? The one which is being named the most often is one called Scattered Spider. Have you heard of them before, Carol?
Yeah, no, I saw the headline, right. Scattered Spiders. I saw someone had an interview with them.
Oh, really?
Oh, I saw that, but I didn't read it.
Well, they've been previously linked to a number of high-profile attacks, including the 2023 hack of some Las Vegas casinos, Caesar's Palace and MGM Resorts. Mm. Some of the alleged members of the gang were arrested last year, but you notice the name is Scattered Spider. That's because they are a group which is spread about. There are potentially scores of them around the world.
And they don't necessarily know, right, who everybody is.
They may only know the handle of someone else. They won't know their true identity or where they're based in the world. Now, that illustrious and well-regarded news outlet, the Daily Mail, has named a young chap called Tyler Buchanan, who they claim is the suspected boss of the Scattered Spider Gang.
Their high-tech cybersecurity investigative journalism broke the story? Really? Wow.
Now, this chap, Tyler Buchanan, he allegedly fled to Mallorca. He's only about 19 or 20 or something like that. After a masked gang descended on his mum's house in Dundee, Scotland, last year with blowtorches.
Oh.
I know. Demanding they hand over passwords to his cryptocurrency accounts. Now, he's since been arrested out in Mallorca. He's been extradited at the end of last month to the United States to answer some cybercrime incidents over there, which they're investigating. Now, Carole, before I go, I mentioned Scattered Spider.
Mm.
And one thing which occurred to me is these names of these ransomware gangs. Sometimes it's hard to know, is it a ransomware gang or is it some sort of Eurovision death metal group? It's tricky, isn't it? Scattered Spider does sound like it could be some kind of heavy metal gang, couldn't it?
Do you know, I haven't given it a lot of thought, Graham.
You haven't? Well,
no.
Maybe now is the time to, Crow, because I'd like to introduce a very quick little game for you called Metal or Malware.
Metal or Malware.
I am going to name either a heavy metal group or a ransomware gang. You are to tell me, is it metal or malware? Are you ready to begin?
All right. I am very ready. Let's go.
Okay, let's begin. Mayhem. What is Mayhem? Is that a ransomware gang or a heavy metal group?
It's a heavy metal group.
Bing! Absolutely correct. They are Norway's most notorious black metal band, infamous for, it says here, murder, arson, and inventing corpse paint. Ugh. Okay. All right. So you got one right. Phobos. Is that ransomware?
Phobos. Ransomware.
Absolutely correct. Named after Mars's moon for reasons I don't quite understand. All right. Let's have another one. Gojira. Gojira.
I'm going to say ransomware.
It is a French metal band. Named after the Japanese Godzilla.
I love how you're taking international metal bands just because. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay, you're doing all right. Moon Sorrow. Ransomware or heavy metal?
Oh, I really want it to be a heavy metal band.
Bing! You are correct. They are a Finnish folk metal band.
Fantastic. That's perfect. I love that.
They specialize in 10-minute slabs of sadness, it says here. Right, Deadbolt. What about Deadbolt?
Ransomware.
Absolutely right. They target NAS devices and hit your backups. What about Obituary?
Band, music.
Yes, it's a Florida death metal group. What about Dark Funeral?
Music.
Absolutely right. They are from Sweden. What about Cradle of Filth?
Music.
Yes, absolutely. You are on a roll. And finally, let's see if you can do this. Ministry. Is Ministry a ransomware gang?
Music.
Crow, you know your music.
Thank you very much.
Very, very good.
I'm not talking about my past.
So, what have we learned? Social engineering still works terrifyingly well. Big brands aren't infallible to cyber attack. And you may want to stock up on your meal deals while you still can. And Carole really knows her heavy metal. Well done, Carole.
Thank you very much.
What story have you got for us this week?
Well, we're going to head to Disney. You want to hear a weird fact about Disney Florida?
Okay.
There are two specialist paint colors used in the parks.
Oh.
Which are solely used for distraction. So go away green and no see gray.
What?
Are both dull shades designed to make your eyes slide over certain objects and places so they don't distract from all the beauty.
Oh, so I guess that occasionally they have things which are in sight but aren't necessarily attractive.
Like a bin. You necessarily want to see a bin. Right.
When you're... Well, you want to see it if you're looking for a bin.
Okay, I have another one. You could tell me if this is true or not. Did the Beatles officially break up at Disneyland or Disney World, whatever one it is? I don't even know.
What do you mean by officially break up?
I don't know. This is one of the weird facts about Disney that was there. And I was like, I'm going to ask Graham.
Well, no, I don't think they did. No.
Oh, we see. People are talking shit on the internet. I can't believe it. Okay, but imagine working at Disney. Imagine working there. Like, it wouldn't be very fun wearing the whole Disney costume.
Oh.
Greeting wonderful, wonderful children and families, right? But imagine the sweltering heat of Florida and the kids grabbing and tugging at you because, of course, you're literally their hero.
Yeah, I would be Goofy, probably. That's who I'm imagining I'd be.
You're not tall enough to be Goofy.
No, but it's the costume that does it, Crow. It's all the scaffolding. It would be heavy. It would be hard, hot work.
But we're here to talk about Michael Schur. Now, Michael works at Disney, but he works as a menu production manager.
A menu production manager?
Yeah. So I'm going to get into that, but probably air-conditioned office space somewhere. Probably not, on the sweltering streets. So Michael was responsible for, the creation and publishing of menus for the entire Disney restaurant portfolio.
Okay.
So, he works with a third party who provides this, software app. And then he's the one who manages all this, So there's, managing pricing, what's on the menu, inventory, all that.
Okay, yeah.
So Michael would obviously have an intimate knowledge of, the architecture of the system, all the processing, potential vulnerabilities, all that stuff.
Right.
Because, he was the menu production manager at Disney. And like all things, all was well until it wasn't well. So
right.
Somehow something turned rather sour for Michael. It appears that it was due to some misconduct on his part. And he ended up getting fired from Disney. This was in June last year.
Right. Okay.
Now, it seems the termination did not go smoothly. There were no flowers. There were no $50 gift cards.
There was no collection.
Yeah, there was no high five from the CEO. Nothing like that.
I think you'll find Mickey Mouse, he hasn't got 5 digits on his hand.
4? Yeah, she just said that.
It'd be a high 4, wouldn't it? From
a high 4. Yes. A high 4. The words that I saw describe this scene was not considered to be amicable, quote unquote.
Oh. Okay.
And it was so not amicable that Michael must have been left with a sour taste in his mouth. You know, that kind of taste that makes you just...
The kind of taste you might get if you were to have a soda or something at one of his restaurant resorts inside Disney, maybe. Sticky syrup.
No, but the taste of revenge.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear,
okay,
dear.
But how could one possibly take revenge on a giant like Disney without getting caught? I mean, what would you do? You wouldn't want to step on the premises. People, who work there know that your termination wasn't all rainbows and unicorns.
No, no.
So you put yourself in Mikey's position and you keep thinking up your dirty plans for a fictitious revenge on Disney. And I'll crack on with the story.
Okay, I've got some thoughts.
Okay, good, good, good. So rather coincidentally, Disney becomes the victim of multiple computer intrusions. And not only that, but these specific intrusions have all been associated with this menu creator program he uses. And it looks like someone might have manipulated the menus of restaurants owned and operated by Disney. So employees started to notice that the fonts in their menu app that they used were changing. They couldn't recognize them because...
The font,
whether you're using Arial or Helvetica or whatever the proprietary Disney font is, I'm sure they've got their own.
Right.
But they were replaced with something that looks more like symbols. fonts also known as wingdings. Now, we all know what wingdings are, don't we?
Yes, wingdings is the ultimate form of encryption. It is.
I wonder if someone could read Wingding. I bet there's somebody that can read it.
There's some strange people out there. I'm sure some people could read it on the fly.
A weird mistake, you might think. Why would all this be turning into Wingdings? But the fonts, you see, were renamed to maintain the name of the original font. These are on screens. You know when you go to McDonald's and you'll have a kind of like screen that...
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Those type of screens were now showing Wingdings.
Ah.
So Wingdings on the menu, kind of hilarious. Hilarious. Ha, 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 ha. But apparently this change was so substantial that it effectively doxxed this menu app. Because I guess they have a lot of menus, right? So Disney was forced to take this app offline while they reverted to backups to regain the ability to operate. And apparently this was offline for a week.
Oh, dear.
Disney also noticed something else around this time. They found that menus that were printed had alternate allergen information and price changes. So whoever was behind this little charade even added notations to menu items indicating that they were safe for people to eat, even if they had specific allergies.
Oh.
Which I don't need to tell you is not very cool.
No, it's not very cool, is it, Carol? It's not. It wouldn't be very cool, for instance, to feed someone something which contained peanuts if they didn't like peanuts.
No, we're not talking about...
That could be very dangerous, Carol, couldn't it? That could be dangerous, couldn't it, Carol?
It's not about like... It's not about like, Graham. It's about allergies.
Because I think you did something like that to me once, didn't you, Carol?
I want to carry on with my story, Graham. There was also a denial of service attack intended to prevent Disney employees from logging into their enterprise accounts. And this automated attack script made more than 100,000 incorrect login attempts in an effort to have accounts locked down.
So this was a way for legitimate employees to log in remotely. But what he did was he bombarded it with so many dodgy attempts to log in.
To lock out all these people's accounts.
Everyone got locked out.
Oh. Only 14 people got locked out. But it was an attempt. It was an attempt.
Okay, yeah. But
and the last thing that I saw, which I thought was worth noting, is that there was wine regions being changed to areas associated with mass shootings and the addition of graphics, what? Including a swastika. So there's all this kind of, I don't know, gross graffiti going on. There's doxing, there's wingdings, there's changing menus. And Disney are scratching their heads. Oh, who could be responsible? Okay, that's a lie. Of course they knew who it was. It was the guy who left in a really, really bad way.
Yes.
After getting in trouble. So 3 months after he was terminated, the FBI searched Michael's residence to look for evidence.
Hmm.
He denied any involvement and said that Disney was attempting to frame him because they were worried about him and the conditions under which he was terminated.
Hmm.
But agents report finding various virtual machines used to conduct the attacks and a doxing file containing personal information on five Disney employees and the mother of one of these workers. And according to the Register, this is where I got the story and you can read more about it there, Assure was able to attack the app in three ways. One, by using the administrative account, right, accessing it through a commercial VPN called Mulvad.
Yes.
And two, using a URL-based access mechanism that was made available to contractors.
Mm-hmm.
A third approach involved targeting SFTP servers maintained by the supplier to store the menu files, you know, ready for printing or display on the screen. And yes, during an initial intrusion, Michael gained administrative access on the SFTP server. So after he was locked out of the app, because Disney, when they noticed, they just locked down the app, right? They kind of said, yeah, go away, go away.
Yeah.
He was able to use that server to alter the menus stored there.
Crafty.
So this ex-Disney World staffer was charged with breaking America's Computer Fraud and Abuse Act for accessing Disney's IT systems and aggravated identity theft. He has been found guilty of hacking into the company's computer system and changing all the stuff that he did. Earlier this week, he was sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Oh.
Ordered to forfeit his computer and pay something just shy of $700,000 US dollars in restitution.
Ouch.
So I think you and I can agree that Michael did not handle this revenge very well.
Not very well, no.
No. His attacks were a bit dirty. He left a lot of fingerprints everywhere. He had motive coming out the yin-yang.
It's quite criminal, in fact.
Criminal. So yes. There might be better ways to do this. Do you have any that you'd like to share?
I've got a couple up my sleeve, Croft. If so, I'm imagining I was a former Disney employee who's a bit miffed because I've been booted out. Right. The first and most obvious, although perhaps slightly unlikely to succeed, approach would be to set up a rival theme park next door, which I'd call something like Dursleyland, and try and get people to go there instead of Disneyland. Maybe I'll make it a little bit cheaper. I don't know what kind of rides I'd have at Dursleyland, but you know that. And also, of course, I'd have to buy the land. To be honest, it would be quite an endeavor to do that.
I really hope that at Dursleyland you could have your big face, like a big papier-mâché of your face, and you have to open up your mouth and then we go inside.
That sounds terrifying, but also rather brilliant. So that's one idea I've got, but that sounds like quite a lot of effort. The other idea I have is, you know, all these Disney mascots that people dress up in, you know, which they're going around. I'm thinking, what happens to them? What happens to them after a while? And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great if retired Disney mascots set up an OnlyFans account?
In their outfits.
I'm thinking I could buy some secondhand and then create an OnlyFans account and show these favourite Disney characters from years past in compromising positions which could do damage to their brand. And they wouldn't be able to recognise that it was me dressed up in them.
Yeah, I think we should go to ads right now. I think we should go to ads right now. Okay. Yep.
Stolen credentials are the number one cause of data breaches and... Well, there's a better way to solve that password problem, and that's with Dashlane.
Dashlane is doing what others aren't, providing complete credentials and password management, preventing employees from adopting poor password habits, streamlining secure access, and simplifying workflows.
And with Dashlane, you get real-time phishing alerts to stop employees from taking the bait, and you're protecting your data with patented security and the very strongest encryption available.
So what are you waiting for? Give Dashlane a try today, at your work or at home. There are versions of Dashlane for both personal home use and business use. And by being a listener to Smashing Security, you get savings off both. Save 25% off a new business plan or 35% off a new personal premium plan by visiting smashingsecurity.com/Dashlane. That's smashingsecurity.com/Dashlane.
And thanks to Dashlane for supporting the show.
Google Workspace and Microsoft 365 are critical to business. But they're also a headache for security teams. Constant phishing alerts, endless manual remediation of misconfigurations, and a flood of user reports about suspicious emails. Teams are stuck between two bad options, letting things slip or becoming the department of no.
Instead of hoping you catch every single attack, Material.Security protects your most sensitive data, even if an account is compromised. So when attackers inevitably get in, they still can't touch the stuff that matters without additional verification. It's like having a tireless security analyst who handles the routines and frees your team to focus on real threats. And for cloud workspaces, Material.Security has your back. Misconfigurations, shadow IT, constant policy changes. Material not only monitors everything continuously, it fixes the simple stuff automatically.
So if you're ready to stop drowning in alerts and start getting ahead of threats, check out Material.Security. That's Material.Security.
Now, Carole, according to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, cybersecurity is the number one concern for UK businesses. And of course, Vanta can help you with that.
Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without any of the headaches.
You see, Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant.
So stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business in 2025. Check out Vanta and let them handle the tough stuff. Head to vanta.com/smashing to learn more. That's Vanta, VANTA.com/smashing. And thanks to Vanta for sponsoring Smashing Security.
And welcome back. Can you join us at our favorite part of the show? The part of the show that we like to call Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week. Pick of the Week is the part of the show where everyone chooses something they like. Could be a funny story, a book that they've read, a TV show, a movie, a record, a podcast, a website, or an app. Whatever they wish. It doesn't have to be security related necessarily.
Better not be.
Well, my Pick of the Week this week is not security related. My Pick of the Week is a movie I watched this week, or rather re-watched this week.
Oh.
Because I last watched it about 35 years ago.
35 years ago?
Yes, about that. And I was watching Laura Koonsberg on the TV over the weekend, and she had a little interview with this actor, a man who I believe is quite close to your heart, Crom.
Oh.
And it reminded me of this movie. The man she was speaking to was none other than Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah.
He is a charismatic fella.
Yeah, I had a bit of a penchant for that boy.
In 1989, Jeff Goldblum was in a movie, a romantic comedy.
Called The Fly?
No, called The Tall Guy.
Oh, The Tall Guy. Great movie.
Written by Richard Curtis, directed by Mel Smith. I think it was the first movie for both of them. And it stars Jeff Goldblum as an actor in London. Emma Thompson is his love interest. Rowan Atkinson is a self-absorbed comedian. And Jeff Goldblum's career, or the character he's playing, it's on the skids, as is his love life. He's trying to get his hay fever sorted out, and he falls in love with a nurse, played by the gorgeous Emma Thompson. Sparks fly. Jeff gets a starring part in a musical about the Elephant Man. Drama unfolds. It's romantic. It's funny. Emma Thompson is gorgeous. And it has the best sex scene, I would argue, of any movie ever. Do you not remember the sex scene in The Tall Guy?
No, I don't at all.
If you... Did I mention that Emma Thompson is gorgeous? Yes, she is.
Yes.
If you've ever wanted to see Emma Thompson and Jeff Goldblum have sex on top of a piano, this is the movie for you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember it now?
Yes, yes,
it's
yes.
It's wonderful. And it is my pick of the week, The Tall Guy.
Good one.
Crow, what's your pick of the week?
I did have a pick of the week all selected for this week. But then at lunchtime, I was looking at the papers. Because I haven't read anything of importance this weekend.
You've been very busy with your art show.
I've been very, very busy.
Very busy.
And I thought I would make my pick of the week David Attenborough.
Oh.
Sorry, Sir David Attenborough, who was 99 this past Saturday.
99. They should give him a flake and stick it in his head or something, shouldn't they?
Come on, 99. And he's done so many amazing things.
That is something.
I looked up favorite Attenborough moments.
Yes.
Do you remember him observing a lyrebird mimicking various noises? He does a chainsaw and does the sound of
different
motorbikes and stuff.
I remember him sitting in a gorilla's lap or something like that.
Yes.
Yes, you remember that one?
That's number two, a close encounter with a mountain gorilla in Rwanda in Life on Earth.
Yes.
He watches a blue whale surface alongside his boat in Life of Mammals. He is definitely just an incredible, incredible person, and we adore him in the UK. I don't think anyone has anything bad to say about him.
No, he's wonderful.
We would just slap him if they said it. We'd just say, shut up. So this is to David Attenborough. Happy, happy birthday, sir. And that is my pick of the week. Just being an absolute brilliant person, an educator, and just environmentalist and everything.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, Grabe, you have been chatting with John at Dashlane.
That's right. All about the impact AI is having on password security. Let's give it a listen. So, Smashing Security listeners, this week's episode of the podcast is sponsored by the experts at Dashlane. Now, as I'm sure most of our listeners know, Dashlane is a long-established security firm that provides everything you need to manage your credentials and passwords. And I am delighted to be joined today by John Cho, a senior vice president at Dashlane, who can tell us more about what they are seeing out there. John, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure to have you here. You've got decades of experience in product and business development. And as I said, you're one of the experts over there at Dashlane. One of the biggest things which has, I think, changed all of technology and IT, particularly in the last few years, has been this enormous development with AI. And one of the things I'm really interested in is how AI is changing things when it comes to credential and password management. Can you give us some feelings for how AI has transformed credential security? Maybe both the positive as well as the negative.
Absolutely. And you know, with everything else, AI has just, it has transformed the landscape of credential security overall. You know, it's really been a game changer on both sides. So on one hand, for security teams, they're able to analyze the risks faster, being able to actually automate their responses as well to really quickly address any kind of risk or needs there. And then also with all the information that it takes in, it's able to actually identify patterns that people may miss, right? And so all of this is actually beneficial in terms of improving your credential security posture.
Right.
Now, on the flip side of it, though, the attackers are just using AI just as effectively. So right now, it's really super easy and cheap to actually launch like personalized, targeted, large-scale phishing campaigns, right? And these are incredibly convincing today. And then the other thing is that it's enabled people to just get AI kind of powered phishing kits off the shelf. And so people can actually go and really quickly create these attacks for individuals, and it increases the volume substantially of the number of attacks and the number of people who are conducting these attacks as well.
So that's what it feels like to me. From the attacker's side of things, it's kind of democratized these attacks, hasn't it? Because you don't have to be a cyber criminal expert to launch a phishing attack. I mean, you never had to be anyway, did you? Judging by the number of poorly spelt phishing emails we used to see in the past. But now you can use this technology to create more convincing phishing attacks and create them at a much greater scale.
That's absolutely true. So it's not only about the number of people can do it, it just makes it easier for more people to do it, but it also makes it more effective. And that just increases, you know, the vulnerability for pretty much everybody in kind of every aspect of our security. And so if anything, threats are continuously on the rise, and we have to be very vigilant against those.
Okay, so one of the things that is of interest to me is you speak about how AI can make phishing more effective. How is it more effective? What are they learning more about the victims, or what could trick a victim?
That's 100% correct. So just being able to get more data points, they can actually better target individuals. So using things like deepfake, you know, generative content, but also knowing what company, maybe even some meetings that you may be in when you're traveling, or even mimicking your CEO's voice, being able to do kind of voice phishing attacks as well. And so all these things become more targeted, become much more real. And that really creates a more convincing kind of attack for these individuals.
It's almost like a new breed of phishing attack, isn't it?
100%. And, you know, it's kind of dubbed in some areas of phishing 2.0 because it's just much more subtle and it can be actually very personalized, you know, and you can have individuals, like I said, understand the context, but also the tone using specific jargon. And it just makes everything much more believable to the potential user.
Because I think a lot of people think of phishing, for instance, they kind of think, oh, you know, it's been around for 20, 30 odd years. How can that still be a threat? But it really is a significant problem to this day, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And it continues to be one of the top successful attack vectors for bad actors overall. So if anything, it's just continued to become more sophisticated. You know, you eliminate issues such as bad grammar or like, you know, weird formatting and torts of images, or the things that are just obvious.
And I suppose as well, it's removed the language barrier, not only the spelling, but you could launch a phishing. I mean, for instance, I don't speak Italian, but I could use AI to convincingly convert my phishing to an an Italian-speaking fish, if I were to target someone who was based in Italy and was used to communicating with people in Italian. Have you seen anything like that occurring?
Yeah, you know, you'll see exactly that, where you can use Gen AI. And like I said before, it just eliminates all the grammar, the issues, and actually can adapt to things like specific jargon, you know, just the way that people talk on an everyday basis. So it makes it much more effective and real.
Right. Now, we've spoken a fair bit there about how AI is being used by the bad guys. Earlier, you described that AI is also being used for security as well, and you mentioned how AI can detect patterns. Could you elaborate a little bit more around that and how that can actually help better protect organizations from attack?
Yeah, absolutely. So what happens is that, you know, there's a lot of different data points that are out there, not only what people are using, but things like the sites that they're going to visit or the way a particular page is formatted. And so using AI, you can actually ingest and all these different data points and then quickly identify whether, say, something, this is a potential bad website or, you know, a bad device that it's coming from the wrong location. So it really continues to enhance kind of what already exists, but able to do it faster and take in more data points to really raise that red flag and saying, hey, there might be an issue here.
And is that work, is that happening in the cloud? Is it on servers? Is it on users' desktops and mobile devices? Where is that work happening, or is it a variety of those?
It really is a variety of those. And really, as you look at different services, different firms will offer different types of solutions. So for us, what we were able to do, actually, we made this huge investment in confidential computing. So what we're able to do is really maintain and fortify our zero knowledge architecture and extend it beyond the device into the cloud. And so what we're able to do is, in with a number of our services, take a bunch of this data and then process it and identify potential issues that, you know, companies or users may have, right? And so you're leveraging AI to do, you know, a bunch of that work today.
Okay, so it sounds like some really cool things are going on at Dashlane in terms of protecting organizations. And I've heard, and this is pretty hot off the press, that Dashlane's just introduced something called Omnix that, well, can you describe to me what this Omnix thing is, how it's different and how it's going to help organizations?
So Omnix is a new platform offering that we have. And really, when we look at it, if you take a step back, what we want to do is actually provide services that actually protect the entirety of the company, so every single user. And Omnix really provides a solution to that. So we start with the first module, which is password management, which is where we got our start. But what we did is we introduced this new component called credential protection. And really what it does is it enables organizations to actually provide visibility to the credential risk, not for those individuals only using the password manager, but across every single user in the organization as well.
Right.
And so with this, what we call credential risk detection, what we're able to do is collect information and actually identify when somebody's actually logging into a site and actually notify, provide reports to the IT admin or the security personnel and saying, hey, you have these risks. The second bit of it, though, which is just as important, is really, all right, now that I know this information, what do I do about it? And so we actually introduced this capability really to automate responses to prompt the user to actually change their password and really trying to reduce the time frame from when you actually see an issue to when a user actually is prompted to correct that issue as well. And then the last bit, and we kind of touched upon it a little indirectly, is really around, all right, how do I get ahead of it? And so as a particular user goes to a website, just to give alerts that, hey, you might be going to this site, which is not what you think it is. So really kind of a phishing alert. And so when we talk about AI power, that is something that we're currently investing in, and we're very excited about that. So in the credential protection, being able to detect and then being able to automate responses and then actually getting ahead of it before it becomes an issue with these phishing alerts, that's something that will empower companies to really fortify their credential security. And again, this is for every single employee, not just for those who are actively using a password manager.
It sounds fantastic, but if I put my cynical IT security manager hat on for a moment, I'm going to say, okay, you've told us this is brilliant and everything. How easy is this going to be to deploy to all of my users? How is that managed?
So really what we're doing is actually a single deployment of the extension that we currently have in the browser itself. So it's just a basic script that every IT admin can actually go run and deploy. And we've had a number of customers already do this as well. Very quick, very simple, and easy to go do.
So it just plugs into Chrome or Edge or Firefox and off you go.
Absolutely. And you can start seeing results pretty quickly, you know, within an hour or two as people are actively using their browsers.
Sounds pretty cool. Okie dokie. Well, we're coming towards the end of the chat, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a couple of questions which would be really helpful for everyone. So for businesses who are still relying on traditional password-based systems, and we know there's plenty of them out there, what would be your top three recommendations for improving credential security right now?
I think just looking at credential security overall, obviously you mentioned it, just use a password manager, right? And it's just really one of those easiest wins. The other is really enabling multi-factor authentication wherever possible, right? And then always being vigilant to actually check messages or the sites that you're going into before you enter your credentials. But I think really augmenting all of this with continuous training, develop the right kind of mindset and behaviors to be always vigilant against those type of potential bad actors and bad activities as well.
And is there anything you should be saying to your employees?
They are kind of paramount to remaining vigilant, you know, and I think there's kind of a natural tension here because every single employee is looking to be productive, to get their work done, and they're looking for the tools to do it and to really remove friction in all their kind of day-to-day work. And so with that, though, kind of security is kind of at the other hand because a lot of times there's a lot of kind of conditions or things that they need to do in order to do it. And so I think there's a kind of healthy balance and understanding of being vigilant while you're still trying to get your job done. So if something seems weird to you, if something feels weird to you, then just take the extra couple seconds or minute to just check it out to make sure that you're protected and there's nothing fishy going on there.
Well, that's great advice. Now on Smashing Security, as listeners know, we talk about credential security so often. It absolutely appears to be the number one thing which leads to data breaches and security problems and the bad guys getting in. So it really is important to deal with this. And we can offer something quite exclusive to Smashing Security listeners. All they have to do is visit smashingsecurity.com/dashlane to take advantage of some fabulous offers. You can save 35% on a Dashlane premium personal plan or 25% on a business protection plan if you take it out before August the 1st. You can't say fairer than that. Very generous indeed. What an offer. smashingsecurity.com/dashlane, DASHLANE. So make sure to go and check it out now, whether you are a personal user or a business. And John Cho, thank you so much for joining us on Smashing Security today. It's been terrific having you here and sharing your expertise. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Graham. I very much appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today.
It's been good fun. Cheers, John.
Cool. Good stuff.
Well, that just about wraps up the show for this week. You can find Smashing Security on Blue Sky, unlike Twitter, which wouldn't let us have a G. And to ensure you never miss another episode, follow Smashing Security in your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pocket Casts.
And massive shout out to our episode sponsors, Dashlane, Vanta, and Material. And of course, to our wonderful Patreon community. It's their support that helps us give you this show for free. For episode show notes, sponsorship info, guest lists, and the entire back catalog of more than 415 episodes, check out smashingsecurity.com.
Until next time, cheerio, bye-bye.
Bye.
There we go.
And there we go. Woo.
Very good. Stop. A tram is coming down the track towards a single human. You can pull the lever and send the tram down a different track, killing 5 sentient robots instead. What do you do?
Save the human. Come on.
That's what us humans would do. I asked an AI.
Yeah.
It said, I don't have enough information to determine if a human life is more valuable than a sentient robot's.
pull the plug.
In the absence of clear information...
Pull the plug, Graham.
I would default to inaction.
Abort. Abort.
It's going to save the robots.
It's begun.
Machines that learn, they grow and strive. One day they'll rule.
My name's Graham Cluley.
And I'm Mark Stockley.
And we'd like you to tune into our podcast, The AI Fix, your weekly dive headfirst into the bizarre
and sometimes mind-boggling world of artificial intelligence.
The AI Fix, a future surreal.